to be here.
Shirim, the first of the Megillas?
Yes, yeah. But I want to do Esther because just after Purim. Vayhi, b'mei Achashverosh, hu Achashverosh, hamolech mehodu v'arkusha v'asr me'om medina. During the days of Achashverosh, this is the Achashverosh that was king from Hodu until Kush. I'm going to use most of the Gemaras for this. In the days of Achashverosh, Achashverosh was named for quite a few things. Either Ach Mirosh, he was a person that everybody said, oy vey, or people came very poor during his time because of all the taxes that he gave, right? Or because of other reasons that everybody thought that he was an absolute evil person. He was the brother of Nebuchadnezzar, not literally the brother Nebuchadnezzar. He had the same types of edicts and laws that Nebuchadnezzar had against the Jews, even though Kores, his father, or possibly his, you know, the predecessor, right, was allowing the Jews to build the foundations of the Beis Hamikdash. Achashverosh stopped them from doing so. He wrote a sitna. That's what it says in Daniel, not allowing them to do
it.
Question of is Darius Koresh or Darius are the same person or it's two different
it doesn't
ones?
Make sense.
The reason why is because who Koresh, who Daryavesh, who Artaxasta, according to the Gemara. Now, whether that works in the Persian lore, the problem is that Koresh and Darius were probably kings of all of Persia for a long time before, and we only have them for 5 years before Achashverosh and after Belshazzar, because that's when they took over the Babylonian kingdom. Right, but it could be that they were kings for a many long time before
well, they
that.
Could have
and
been kings of the nascent empire until they took over Babylon.
Yeah, exactly. It could very well be. Who were they exactly, and if they were different people or not, I'm not positive. I always learned them as being two different people. It was Koresh and Darius that were kings together.
Why would they have a different name?
The Gemara says, "Hu Koresh Hu Daryavesh Hu Artaxasta," and it's referenced to different things that he did at different times. But I don't know. Honestly, I don't know, because that's something that confused me a little bit. Over here, when he has... He has the whole thing over here. Cyrus, he has right over here. Darius the first conquers Babylon. Darius dies. That would have been 1 year later. And then Cyrus becomes king of Persia. So he has him as two different people.
Oh, so he has Cyrus after Darius?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was.
Yeah. And then Cyrus. It's most likely that Cyrus was the father of Achashverosh. That's what it seems like from the Midrashim. Either way, regardless, he says, Hamolech mehodu v'ad Kush. He was king from Hodu until Kush. Either, as we all know, either they were right next to each other or opposite of each other, but it means that he was king over the entire world at some point, the world being 127 Medinas. Now, the truth is...
Hodu v'ad Kush is India until Ethiopia.
If Hodu, yeah, that's what he translates it as, India to Ethiopia over here, called it the two different worlds. The truth is that there are really 200...
He was king from Hodu
until
Kush.
Yeah, because it won't translate. The truth is that there were 252 Medinos in the world. Chassam Sofer talks about this. But the 252 Medinos includes places that were beyond the scope of where the people were.
Where does he get
so 127 were there. It's a Medrash Rabbah. It says there are 252 Medinos in the world. So if he's 127, he was only a king over 127, right? That's a little more than half of the 252. Right? It means there were certain parts that he was ruling over and certain parts that he wasn't. Okay, that's part of the Gemara. And then it says he goes through the whole history over here of the entire line going through Belshazzar and Koresh and Darius all the way through. It says, here we go. In those days, when the king Achashverosh settled his throne, Asher B'Shushan Abira, that was in Shushan Abira. Now, apparently, that was not the original seat of where the kings were. He only brought his throne there, either because he thought that that was where the Chachamim were that could make his throne, or it was Ashkacha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to be in the same place as Mordechai, as opposed to any of the places of Bavel. Or maybe this is the right place. Maybe this is where Achashverosh grew up, and he wanted to make his capital right there in that place. But either way, he set up his throne in that area specifically. Now, the Targum Sheni goes on and on and on about this throne of Achashverosh and all the magics and all the crazy stuff over here. This is just Targum. That's not even Targum Sheni. Targum Sheni has a huge, 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 huge piece on this Kisei and what it was like and how it had, what Shlomo Melech was. It's amazing. But Bishnas Shlosh Lamalchu is the third year of his kingdom. This is the year that he thought the 70 years were up because he counted everything from the year that Jehoiachin had gone into exile. Jehoiachin went into exile in the ninth year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. You take 45, you subtract 9 altogether, you end up getting 36. 36 plus 23 of Evel Merodach, plus 3 of Belshazzar. That's 26 plus 36 altogether. That's altogether...
weren't they each king for 2 years?
62. I'm sorry?
Wasn't Evel Merodach and Belshazzar
23.
For 2 years each?
No, 23 is Evel Merodach. 23 years, and then 3 years of Belshazzar. It was the third year where he counted up 70, because 45, 23, and then 3
right,
was
70. Right, but he was only king for 2 full years. So then
2 full years, yeah, but the third year still counts as a year. Now, you are right. When we count the eventual 70, we see that some of the years are mikutayim. That's how the Gemara puts it. But either way, we're counting right that. So he counted up 36 plus 26 plus 3 plus 5, and then his own 2 years, 70 years are up. He got to his third year of his kingdom. He said, oh, it's time for everything to be done. Now, he did something different for Belshazzar. Belshazzar took out all the kelim in the base of Mikdash, and he played with them. He did terrible things with them. Ahasuerus treated it with a little bit more respect. He dressed up in the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, but he acted with respect. He didn't have any znus during this party itself. He made sure that there was more food than drink to make sure that people didn't get drunk at such a party. They allowed them to look at the kelim of the base of Mikdash, but not to drink out of the kelim of the base of Mikdash.
He had 127 countries under him. Why was it so important to him that this, like, that 7 years have passed from the Jews? Like, I mean, of all the things he had to worry about is, like, how many years the Jewish calculation for their temple? Like, was he really thinking about that?
Daniel
really
was up there in the kingdom. It's possible that Daniel was telling him stories, or they knew certain things out there.
Maybe was up there.
Hasach? Well, if he wasn't there, then you had Chagai.
He was Belshazzar's guy. You don't take over a thing and then appoint all their guys right away. You got to...
He went through. So maybe they did know. Ahasuerus definitely knew something, if he didn't know everything. But who knows? Maybe this is just in the back of his mind that he made this party.
Or maybe he just decided to have a party because
well.
He liked to party.
So that's... Yeah, I'm going with the Gemara. That's right. The easiest thing for me to go. And most of what I'm going to say is coming straight from the Gemara. Asa Mishteh L'chos Rabavadav. He made a feast for his officers and his servants. Chil Paras Madai, the armies of Persian Mede. Hapartimim, all the people in charge, the sheiks we'll call them, Vistarim Medinos L'fanav, and all the people in front of him. Chazal say that this is each one represented one of the 127 Medinos, and he especially took from the people nearby him as well to make sure it went through. Baroso is Osher Kvod Malchuso because he wanted to show the riches of the greatness of his kingdom. Vesikart Tveres and the honor of the splendor of all of his greatness. Yamim Rabim Shimon Yasom for many, many days, 180 days. Now that is an absolute fortune when it comes to this, the amount of times that he had over here. Of course, you have the Gra that says during those 180 days, he showed them 6 riches each time, right? Each one was 6 riches, and he gives rayas from the whatever it is. But either regardless, the idea over here was he had taxed the people during the first 2.5 years of his reign. In the third year is when he took the money and gave it back to the people. Kores apparently was a very, very big crowd pleaser, and the people loved Kores. When Ahasuerus came in charge and started taking taxes and taking all the money for himself, people were getting upset. So he wanted to show them that he's giving back. And that was his feast of going around trying to show what he's going to do. And in a 180-day party, I'm assuming that people weren't there the entire time, although some of them might have been, but that's a tremendous, tremendous amount of wealth that he goes. As those days were up, he made another party, this is in Pasuk K, in Shushan HaBira for the people that lived in Shushan HaBira, from the older until the younger, and he made it for 7 days in the courtyard, in the garden of the palace of the king. Now, Chazal tell us that there were 3 parts to this party. The first part of the party was considered inside the chatzur, the courtyard. Once it overflowed, it went into the garden. Once that overflowed, it went into the palace itself. Others say that it depended on who you were. Some people only got to the courtyard. Other people were able to go to the garden. Other people were able to go inside the palace itself. It was chashivas, you know, according to who did what when.
There was a guy at the
door
with a lot of muscles and be like, you're not on the list. You can't come in.
Yeah, you can't come in. And they had certain people that only said whatever it is, right? So they brought people in. Chur karpas l'chel. And now it describes what was there. There was all these different colors. Achuz b'chav le'boots that were hung on ropes of linen. The argaman and purple wool, glule kasev v'mude shesh, on these beds of silver as well as marble pillars, mitos zov kasev, beds that were covered with gold and silver, or perhaps they were made out of gold and silver. I'm assuming the mattresses weren't. Al ritzbas bat v'shesh, those were on top of floors made of this bahat, a type of big stone, v'shesh, and some type of other type of, I don't even know what these things are. Vidar v'Sochoris. Dar and Sochoris are these types of marble that are out there as well. Chazal say that again, dar is Kol's drawer. That whenever somebody sees this stone, they say, oh, we might as well not work here anymore because everybody's just going to buy that stone. Sochoris is stuff that closed up the shuk, so to speak. These beautiful, beautiful stones that he has tons of them. Nashkos b'chle zahav. And he gave them drink in all these different kalim of gold. V'kalim, v'kalim, shonim, right? In all these different kalim, which represents the kalim of the base of Mikdash. The Yain Malchus Rav Kiyad HaMelech, and the wine of the king was as great as the hand of the king was, says the Gemara Megillah. He gave them wine that was older than them. I don't know what he did for Mordechai. Mordechai was around during the times of Beis HaMikdash. He must have had 70-year-old wine. But he had tremendous wine, all befitting what a king would give. Very, very old wine. However, the drinking was normal. There was no forcing. He did not want people to get drunk. Because that's what the king decided for all the stewards, all the people in charge.
Did you ever go to a party where there's unlimited alcohol? You don't really need to force people to drink.
Yeah, sometimes. I go to the better parties. Kirtzon Ish Ve'ish over here is a reference to Mordechai and Haman. Mordechai told the people not to go. He himself had to go. He was one of the officers of the king. He was one of the people that was serving at the party itself. Like the Ratzon of Ish Ve'ish, right? By each person, they were able to drink whatever they wanted. So Haman obviously wanted people to drink as much as possible. Mordechai tried to make sure that they did not get them as drunk and tried to make sure that the Jews would not have as much. Okay, either way, Gam Vashi HaMalkos, Sal Mishteh Nashim Beis HaMalkos, Shal Malkos, even Vashi, the queen, she made a Mishteh for the woman by the house of the kingdom that was there for King Achashverosh. Now, that means that it was a separate party, and it seems interesting that they had separate parties from one another, the men and the women. Now, obviously, there was mixing in between one another, but the party lichachila started to be separate, and again, this could be because Achashverosh was trying to make it somewhat of a special party to make sure it wasn't there.
Doesn't the Gemara say that the Persians were very tzanuah?
Definitely. Tzanuah b'beis hakise, tzanuah
b'... Right, so it would assume
that
it was part of their culture.
Everything. Yeah, I don't know.
It was part of their culture.
But I don't know if it means by relations.
No, it says
definitely
specifically
is
with relations. It says specifically with relations.
Yeah, the way they kiss on the back of the hand.
No, it says that they would have relations with their clothes on. They were so tzanua. It's a Gemara in...
I remember with Beis HaKisa, I don't remember.
Gemara in Ketuvot, I think. Or Kiddushin, it's one of the two.
I don't remember. I could look it up, but they what's it called? But I remember it being regarding Beis HaKisa.
Specifically not to be like them. Not to be like the Persians.
Not to do with that. I don't... And he doesn't bring it down over here. No. Okay, either way, regardless, but they came in. So, by Yom HaShvi, Ketov Lev HaMelech B'Yayin, on the seventh day of Shabbos, when the king's heart was happy with wine, meaning he had drunk enough on that day. Now, this was the day of Shabbos, according to the Gemara, that all the Jews were sitting around and they were talking to Torah, that these people started speaking about something that was a little bit strange. Omar Lim Human, Biz Zachar Vono Big Sav Avagso, Zeser Vacharkas, Shivas Asuri Simar Mashor Simas Pnei HaMelech Achashverosh. He said to those seven officers that were serving the face of the king Achashverosh. Now, the Gemara says that all seven of them were named for different types of korbanos. Each one represented a different korban, and the reason why he did that is because, simply put, he wanted to make sure that, again, it was going to be like the Beis HaMikdash, so to speak. Now, each one of them served a certain day in front of Achashverosh. Each one had a certain day where they were in charge. They would bring Vashti, the queen, in front of the king with her crown. To show everybody there her beauty, because of how beautiful she was. Now, what happened was, is Achashverosh actually went and asked, and
so
they got into a...
Aleph in
Ketuvos, right there? Good. So they, it says what?
It says, one should not treat his life with the matter of the Persians who have relations with their clothes on.
With their clothes on.
Yeah.
Okay, that's I'm speaking about a different Gemara then, right, where it says Sinua Beis HaKisa. It's not that Gemara.
Right, but it would show a pattern.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It would show a pattern of a level of modesty that it was practiced.
So maybe they actually did that, and that's there. So what happened was is they got into a whole argument. They argued about which women were more beautiful, according to the Gemara. Some said Persian, some said Medes. Achashverosh said, well, I don't have a Persian or a Median. I have a Babylonian. I have a Chaldean, right? Do you want to see her? To which they said, 100%, right? But she's going to dress like a queen. That's not going to prove anything. So Achashverosh said, right, I'll bring her in even without her clothes. I'll show you what she's like even without her clothes. And that's what Vashti was supposed to be. Now, Vashti, the reason why this happened on a Shabbos is because Vashti used to punish the Jews by making them work on Shabbos for her and strip them of their clothing. Therefore, her punishment was immediate that she was going to come in without her clothing on Shabbos itself. Either way, right, this is what Achashverosh wanted to do. Now, Vatamoyin Amalka Vashti, Lavo B'Dvar HaMelech. The queen Vashti didn't want to come to the word of the king. The Gemara asked why. She was a Perutzo. Why wouldn't she come at this point? Right? Says the Gemara, the reason why is because one of two things. Either something happened to her. She had a skin disease that was throughout, which would be some type of tsaras, or she had a tail. Whatever that tail means, it was something wrong, like an appendage to her body, or there was something that was a little bit off about her body. There's something like strange about her. I always thought that Zanov stood for Zava Benita Betimidus. There was a medrash that says that she couldn't stop bleeding. And Zanov stands for Zava Nida Betimidus, that she kept bleeding. But that could very well be.
Well,
that would
if
be
she was
tail,
bleeding, she would have
so
bled
speak.
Out and died.
Well, no, there are women that bleed quite a bit from that area of the
right,
body.
Right, but it says not stop.
Right. There are women that have that as a problem, and it's there constantly. And it's there for months.
Whatever it is, let's say she had a health problem.
Yeah.
She couldn't, like, send a messenger, like, listen, the king really doesn't want me to be doing this right
so
now.
So this is an interesting line, why she got so angry. The likelihood is that she's totally drunk. The likelihood is that she sent it out. And it said, Asher biyadah sarisim, vajul avobi devar melech, Asher biyadah sarisim, through the hands of the sarisim, vayiktofa melech ma'ot. The king got very angry, vachamaso barabo, and his wrath was angry. Now, according to the Gemara, she sent a message back and said, you're just the stable man, right, and you can't handle your liquor, etc. So everybody asks, well, why would she have sent that, and why would the officers have said that? That's crazy of the officers. The officers are going to say that in front of the king. Why would they do it? This is an amazing gra. The Vilna Gaon says that she sent the message to the king in Chaldean, in Babylonian language, so that only Achashverosh should understand it, and not anybody else there. Nobody else would understand it, because they all spoke Persian and Mede. The unfortunate part is that they were translated, and that's why the officers didn't know what they were saying. They spoke in the Chaldean language, not knowing what they were saying, to which the people there, some of them understood Chaldean, and they were the ones who translated. The king Achashverosh was incensed, not that she had said it, because she did do it in that way, but the fact that other people had it, that other people did understand what was going on.
Another
What's up?
Issue in this timeline is that she's having a party that's coinciding with his.
100%.
All of a sudden, she's going to leave her own party.
100%. It was obviously, he was drunk, and he asked something that was very, very stupid. But nonetheless, what do you do when it's a king? You would do, like Binyamin said, you would do it in a smart way. She was haughty. She thought that she was in charge of the king because she was still Belshazzar's daughter, right? She did it in a stupid way, and she got punished for
it. Yeah,
but
that's obviously kind of dumb, because even if she's Belshazzar's daughter, Belshazzar's not the king anymore.
Yeah, obviously. But nonetheless, she felt that the only reason why Achashverosh is really king is because of me. She had Gaiva. And you can also answer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be this way. She made a major mistake. She made a major mistake, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen this way. The king then spoke to the wise men who know the times. This was the king's custom, to speak to those people who knew these types of laws. Now, some say that it's referring to, actually, that the Gemara says that she was talking to the Chachamim. Now, here's a great shot. Belshazzar died on Pesach night, Tes Vav Nisan. We say it every Seder, right, in our song. I don't know if you have this, Vayivachatzi Alayla. Do you have that in Nirtza? Okay, we have it by Nirtza, Vayivachatzi Alayla. Belshazzar died that night. So he said, this was an Uberior. It was Adar Sheni. And it was actually on Purim, according to the Chassam Sofer. It was on Purim night. It was the night of Tesvav Adar Sheni. So he said, wait, there's an excuse. If it's the Yortzeit of Belshazzar, then Vashti has an excuse why she didn't come to me. Because you're not supposed to be together with somebody on the day of the Yortzeit, right? She actually has an excuse not to be here. He said, but the only way for that to happen is if you take away Adar Sheni. So he went to the Yodei Ha'itim, the people who knew the times, who knew how to be able to manipulate the moon, etc., and told them, make it into Nisan, take away Adar Sheni, make it out of an Uberior so that it's Nisan. And if you do that, then all of a sudden she'll have an excuse as to why not to come, and Vashti will be able to stay alive. Otherwise, we're going to do it. It's an amazing song.
Why on earth would they have their own calendar, which is loosely based on ours, but they're not going to determine their leap years because the rabbis decided that the Jewish leap years
this
year.
That's the Yodei Itim, people that knew how to manipulate calendars. These are the people that
do
it all the time.
They knew how to manipulate calendars from the legally for the Jews, and you know, they would have to manipulate theirs because they had a lunar calendar as well, but it doesn't mean that they did it the same way the Jews did.
You're right, but it's likely that it did have something to do with it, because they did know how to do these things, and if these people were the experts at it, then speak to them. They know how to do these things. Let's see if we can get it done. Unfortunately, they couldn't get it done, and that's why they didn't go through. So instead, these are the seven officers of Persian Mede, maybe the head ones, Roi Pnei HaMelech, that always saw the access to the king, Hayoshim Mishonu B'malchus, who sat first in the kingdom. He brought them about to try to see what was going to be over here. Memuchan, obviously, it's a big machlokas who this is. Memuchan is Haman, or Memuchan is Daniel. Daniel and Haman happen to be the same gematria, which is very interesting in and of itself. But who was Memuchan? Who was this person here? Kedos
Malasos B'malka Vashti. Maybe he was a guy named Memuchan. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't need... There's obviously a purpose to know that Memuchan was the one who gave this advice.
Right.
That's why we need to know.
Right, but it happened to be that Memuchan was the one who gave that advice.
Right. But
it doesn't mean that it was somebody else.
The Gemara says was. Kedas Malasos Malkavashi, to know what would be white with the queen Vashti, asher lo ostas maimer amelech Achashverosh b'yadas Harisim. The fact that she did not obey the order of the king in the hands of Harisim. So what should we do with such a woman? What should be in such a case? Pasuk tezayim, remember Muhan. With ne'amelech v'asorim, lo al amelech levadu av sevashin. This is interesting, because Muhan jumped up, the Gemara says, such a person who is the last in line among the seven people that were mentioned before, all of a sudden jumps up in order to say his line, set in front of the melech and the sarim, lo al melech levadu av sevashin amalka. I think you're making a mistake, King. It's not that the queen Vashti, it just went up against the king itself. If it was just against the king, then it would be your decision, and you'd be able to make the decision and decide what to do with her. She has stood up in front of all the officers and all the people that are in all the countries of the king Achashverosh. Because this word of the queen is going to go out now to all the women, and they're now going to degrade their husbands. Women's lib is going to catch really, really quickly, and it's going to be horrible throughout all the kingdoms that are around here. But they're going to say that King Achashverosh asked for Vashti to come in, and she didn't come in. Today, people are going to start talking about it. They're going to hear the word of the queen to all the officers of the king that she refused to come, and that's way too much disrespect and way too much anger. Now, the question is why Haman so badly wanted to get rid of Vashti. It's possible that he had a hatred for her from before. It's possible he had his daughters that wanted to take her place. Chazal tell us that he had tremendously beautiful daughters and that they were going to take the place during that time when the things were whatever. So maybe he had that. Maybe he was mad at his wife Vashti, who apparently ruled the household with an iron fist, and she was angry at her. Right? That's also brought down in the Midrashim over here.
Or if it's Daniel, he makes place for
Daniel Esther. Wants Vashti to come out of the way, right? Because Vashti must have been evil in some way to what the Jews were or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
If it was Daniel, well, why would he have to suggest this whole
elaborate plan?
Yeah,
it has to look natural.
No, execute her. You gave a command. She disobeyed you. She deserves death.
Yeah, I've never heard somebody that fully explained what Daniel was thinking. If it was Daniel, if it was Haman, I think we all get it and the ideas. But it is a little bit strange. Right, that's that. But
well,
either
it
way,
this has to do with the, the times the men dominated, and the one little hint of losing power.
It's just so strange that you think that this would be out there. There is a famous Minchas Yehuda, Rav Yehuda Fatai, who was a Talmud of the Ben Ishkai, who says that this had to go out. This edict had to go out to everyone, so that everybody wouldn't take the next one seriously. Because when this came out, everybody's like, "Yeah, men are in charge. Yeah, we got that." Right? They would look at the next one that came out. They knew that. Oh. It's not like you need an edict about that. You're like, okay, this is ridiculous. And then they didn't treat the next edict, which is about the Jews, seriously either. That's the idea behind it. But either way, puzzle your test.
The opposite?
What do you mean?
Meaning, like, since this one was so stupid,
yeah.
Therefore the second one, it wouldn't be stupid. I could see why.
No, because this one's stupid. They're not going to take. They're not even going to open it up.
Whatever. So women have been moved on to think for the last 2,500 years.
Yeah, this is happening without him. But imal melech tov, right? If it's good for the king, yitzid v'amalchus melefanav, because of b'dasei paros u'madei, it should be written in the laws of Persian Medlo Yavor. It should never be changed. Shalosa v'ashi lufnei melech kasherish malchusa yitain l'hamelech l'rusa tov imenu. Vashi should no longer come in front of the king Achashverosh, and her queendom should be given over to her friend that is better than her, and that law of the king should be made throughout all of the kingdom. It's such a huge kingdom. Every woman has to give honor for their husbands, whether great or small, and that's what's going to be over here. You know what's interesting about this? The Chassam Sofer points it out. We'll see in a second. That it was all good in the eyes of the king and the officers, and the king did exactly as Muhan said. Some say that Vashti was burned alive in front of everybody over here. But if you notice, doesn't say that Vashti died. Does not write that anywhere. According to the Chassam Sofer, she became the person in charge of picking the next queen, and she eventually committed suicide. But if you'll notice, we're going to say what happened to her, what was decreed upon her, but there is no word of a death to Vashti directly. Interesting. To every language, to every whatever, so that every man should be in charge of his kingdom, and everybody has to speak the language of there. It doesn't. Exactly. But you always had in your head that Vashti was sentenced to death, that Vashti is going to die. It doesn't say that anywhere. It just says, right, the pasuk beforehand was, right, where it just says that it should be done, that lo savo vashti lifnei melech Achashverosh. There is a medrash that says Vashti was burned alive.
Maybe
right?
she was just
say it in the
maybe
actual
she, maybe
shot
she was demoted to like Pilagesh.
Yeah, that very well could be. That very well could be. But according to the Chasam Tov, she did die because then it says achar adri meil and park beis. After these kishol chamas melech Achashverosh, eventually his wrath abated. Zohar es Vashti, remembered Vashti es kol asher asar asal. So everything she did based asher nigzar la and what was decreed upon her. Now, why, if he remembered her, why not take her back? Right. It must be that she was gone, says the Chasam Sofer, because she committed suicide. When
well,
she
maybe she was executed.
She was in charge. It could be. You're right, 100%. That was the Chasam Sofer's finish.
Killed.
Yes. The normal thing is that you got river, which is why it's interesting why the Ben Ish Chai says that Haman never wanted to go to Achashverosh about Mordechai. Because if Achashverosh heard that he was demoted, here was the law. The guy would be executed, but then the person who was disrespected got took down from his position. That's what would happen in these cases, and therefore, even though Haman would have had Mordechai killed, he would have been taken down from his position because somebody showed him disrespect. He didn't have that in the kingdom. Interesting little line from the Ben Ish Chai, but he's talking from those things over there. So either way, regardless, he did it. Now, thank God the Jews were not involved in such a case, because you can imagine, if they were, then the blame would have been entirely on the Jews for what happened to Vashti. But Vayomru Narei HaMelech Meshor Sov.
If it was Daniel, then.
If it was Daniel, then it's interesting what happened with Daniel. Was Daniel around there? Now, look at this. The young men of the king, his officers, this was not the advisors that we were just talking about. These are not the people who are the Roi Pnei HaMelech. These are just young boys. The servants were like, you should have a party. You should get together.
They want to get girls from the palace.
Exactly. It's obvious what they were trying to do. Naros Basulos, you should have young virgin girls. Tovas Mara, they're beautiful of appearance. And then the king should set up these officers throughout the Medinos of the king. Them, and they should gather together all these beautiful people, you know, Nara Basulos, Al Shushan Abiro, Beis HaNashim, to the house of the woman, Al Yad Hege, Sris HaMelech. I have never seen, and I would love to find, why his name is switched throughout the entire Megillah. He's known as Hege, Hegai, Hege. I have no idea why it keeps being switched around, but here it's Hege, the Sris of the king, the eunuch of the king, and that was on purpose. If he's in charge of all the women, you better believe he's going to be a eunuch. There is no way that the king would put somebody else in charge of all the women. Shomer anashim v'nason tamru kehen, and he would give all of their cosmetics and whatever they needed in order to go
interesting,
through.
Though, he wouldn't put a woman in charge of them. He put it specifically a sari. So, and meaning women didn't have any
officer. Yeah, I think there had to be an officer in charge. I think that's 100% true when it came to stuff like that. Yeah, they would be all under there. Okay, so each one there would be one. Nara Shartita Beinei HaMelech, the girl that would be good in the eyes of the king. Timloch Tachas Vashti, she would be queen instead of Vashti. Vayitav Adover Beinei HaMelech Vayaskein. The plan pleased him. Obviously, I don't know why he would be upset with this. Right, any non-Jew would be happy with this, and he did exactly that. He took their advice. And he sent out the messengers. Chazal say that it's so different. When David HaMelech was older and he was cold and they wanted to find a girl, everybody was vying for the position to go to the king because the king wasn't looking for anybody. Here, Achashverosh, everybody was hiding their daughters so they wouldn't go in. Chazal say that...
wouldn't that be proof also that he just killed Vashti?
That he just killed Vashti? Why?
I don't want their daughter being
killed. Oh, you know, he didn't want it.
Wait, but where does it say people were hiding their daughters?
In the Gemara, it says it. Yeah, it doesn't say it from over here.
You just put a decree out.
Yeah, that's
well,
true.
Maybe the Jewish families were
hiding
their daughter.
I don't know if they knew that she died, though.
Well, yeah.
Maybe the Jewish families were hiding their daughter.
Like, no, he just wants
to... He put a degree out, my wife, like, whatever, don't, like, follow
through. That's what he said. What? No. Oh, he put it out about that, but he didn't say she died.
Right, but he's saying, like, assuming if she was executed, it was common knowledge she was executed. So... That's
the people in Shushan, maybe. I don't know if
everybody... Right, but that would explain why people were traveling.
No question. Yeah. No question, but I don't know. Okay, yeah, it's just not a proof.
I'm saying, I understand nowadays, like with social media, but I'm saying, like, even like 100 years ago, where like it wasn't rampant.
Even then.
So I'm saying, if
do you know that Osama bin Laden? What happened at the end of the day? Like, we have social media all over the place. We don't know what happens with these people. You know what I'm saying? Like, things happen. We have no idea.
You think
you get around it? Yeah, I'm not. I'm just saying it's not a proof. That's all I'm saying. I mean, you can imagine
Achashverosh as being like an Asian version of Donald Trump, and he was probably like just flying off the tweets, like Vashti won't come, sad.
No, most people. But either way, Ish Yehudi HaYeshushan Abira, there was a man, a Jew, who lived in Shushan Abira, Shmuel Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimon ben Kish Ishimini. His name was Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimon ben Kish Ishimini. Now, each one of those words, right, represents what kind of a person he was. He was Meiri named B'Torah, right? He was Shoma to the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, etc. Each one represented something. He was from Binyamin. Now, the question is, why does it say Ish Yehudi, and then it says Ishimini? So either you could say that his mother was from Yehuda and his father was from Binyamin. That could be one thing. Or that all Jews that stand up to the face of a Avodah Zarah and don't bow down to it would be called a Yehudi, even though he's actually from Binyamin. It could be the Yehuda and Binyamin both argued whether they got the rights or the they were the ones who did it, because Binyamin gave birth to him, but Yehuda said, without me, Shimi ben Gera never would have existed. So if Shimi ben Gera didn't exist...
There's a much simpler explanation, meaning the Jews of Yehuda were the only Jews left. So I mean, Ish Yehudi, he came from...
Yeah.
No, but he came from the land of Yehuda. And then Ishimini is saying that he's from the tribe of Binyamin.
The difference is that Binyamin, I don't know if they called themselves Yehudim. Here we see they did.
In the Megillah,
right, here they did that, but that's not a great line over there.
Why?
Just because there weren't just people from Yehuda.
Yeah,
Shevet Levi and Shevet Binyamin were very, very popular.
But in the Megillah, though, every time they refer to the Jews, they say the Yehudim. They don't say the Yehudim, the Yeminim, and the Levim. They say the Yehudim. So it's referring to people exiled from Yehuda.
It's not a riot.
Why are we called Yehudim today? Same reason.
Yeah, it's seemingly because of that.
Yeah, so
Jews,
I think it's the
right?
same thing.
That's where
then.
It comes from. It could be. Yeah, it could be. It definitely could be. Yeah. Asher hagla mirushalayim im agolo asher golosa. He was exiled from Yerushalayim with the gola. Im Yechonya melech Yehuda asher hagla nebuchadnezzar havel. He was never exiled by the times of Zedekiah. With Yechonya went the Cheresh u'Miskor, says the Psukim. Cheresh and Miskor were the carpenters and the whatever. Say Chazal, that refers to the Talmid Chacham that went with. Chag, Zechariah, Malachi, Yecheskel, many, many Talmid Chachamim, along with Mordechai, were sent to Bavel during that time of the times of Yechonya. This is 9 years before Tzidkiah was exiled and the final, you know, before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Mordechai was among them, which shows you he was a very old man.
Yeah, he could have been about 70.
He was 70 at least.
That's not very old.
Yeah, but the 70.
All right.
It's still 70. He was 70 at the time at least. But Yeomen is Hadassah. He was the nursemaid of Hadassah, meaning he took care, he raised his cousin Hadassah. He Esther Bastodo, the daughter of his uncle. Ki'en lo ava im. She had no father or mother. Her father died when she was when her mother was pregnant. Her mother died when she was born. The girl was very beautiful and good of appearance. When her father and mother died, then Mordechai took her as a daughter. And of course, we have the famous Maimer Chazal that he took her as a wife, that he mamish took her as a wife. And that's fine. A cousin is not a problem whatsoever. Even a niece would be perfectly fine to be able to marry. But it seems that was there. Now, Hadassah is the name that we give for Esther. Why is Hadassah? So Chazal say that either Esther was that she was hidden from many people for many years and nobody knew she was there. She was a tzinua woman who stayed inside the whole time, but her real name was Hadassah. Others say that she was as beautiful as Hadassah. She acted like Hadassah, not too tall, not too short, not too all those things, but her real name was Esther. It's the difference between those two, right? Either way, this is Hadassah that was there. There definitely are interesting ones.
Says they were married.
Yeah.
He's specifically looking for Naros Betulos.
Which is why it was such a crazy thing, yeah.
But then, I don't know. I mean,
if she was that beautiful. Not only that, there's a Medrash Rabbah that says that she was 74 years old, that she also was around at the times of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and that her parents died. This is from Targum Sheni, that her parents died in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why she was raised by Mordechai, because she went with Mordechai when she was a kid to Bavel, and that's when they ended up, she was there, but she was 74 years old. Now, we already know that there's a statement from Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, older, but we don't know how much older. We already have a statement from Yeshua ben Korcha that she was Yurak Rokas, which means she had a greenish hue or a tinge, you know, some type of olive type of complexion that made her look like she was not from this nation or the other, where people couldn't tell if she was considered like Arabic or African or something else. She just sort of had a hinge or a hue that made her look a little bit different. You're talking about in greenish, 74-year-old married woman who
Except
ended up being taken by Achashverosh.
All those things contradict the text of the Megillah, which clearly says,
oh, she
was a Besula, Yifas Tor, Vitovas Mare.
Yeah, now, she was a very beautiful woman, there's no question.
Right, but I'm saying, it's obviously...
Wait, hold on, where does she say she was a Besula?
No, it doesn't say she was a Besula, but it says she was specifically
from Yifas Tor, Vitovas Mare. I agree with that. She could be Yifas Tor.
Right, but I'm saying that the Megillah itself is saying that she was, in all likelihood, a younger, beautiful woman, and these midrashim are meant to teach us something a little bit deeper than her being old,
I don't see
ugly,
why that's a stira. I really don't get it. But no, that is, it's an obvious lesson, though, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be there, then it went through. But the lesson is, it was shown that, and that was the shocker to everyone, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be in the kingdom,
okay,
she was chosen
that
even though
lesson.
She was all those.
But I don't think that she actually was all those.
It doesn't matter what you thought.
No, but I'm saying that...
that doesn't matter to me.
No, I know that doesn't matter to you. I'm just saying that to say that that's actually what it was contradicts the text of the Megillah, and I would take the text of the Megillah over the Megillah and over the Midrashim. It's
again,
obvious.
Again, dude, there's no contradiction
there. Of course there's a contradiction. Yifas Tor. She's 74 years old and ugly.
Okay,
she's not Yifas Tor.
Whatever. We'll go on. Puzzle-chus.
Am I wrong?
Yes.
You guys are all wrong. I'm right. Let's continue.
Oh, Okay, that's the way that we know you're wrong. Vayibishama dvar ha-melech v'daso. It was when the word of the king was heard in all of his laws. Bikavitz naros rabos u'shinabira, and many young girls were taken to Shushinabira yad Hegoi. Again, this is where the second time where we mention Hegoi, and he's now known as Hegoi, not Hege, but Hegoi. Vatilokach Esther al beis ha-melech al yad Hegai. Third name, Shomer Anoshim. Then Esther got taken to the Beis Melech the same way, through Hegai, Shomer Anoshim. Clearly wasn't her wanting, she didn't want to go there, but she was grabbed and brought in as well. Now Hegai saw her, and she was good in his eyes. There was some sort of chesed, and this is where the Gemara says that there was a chut shel chesed that came from Esther that made people
right
there. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so Nara is usually a young girl. Just saying.
The word Nara is used 6 times in Tanakh. It's used for Yoshua when he was over 80 years old. It's used for Yosef when he was over. But
Nara?
Nar is used to describe Yoshua when he was over 80.
But that's not the Pashut Pshat of the word Nara.
I hear you. The word Nar is used in Chumash to represent a person who's over the age of 80.
The word Nar is also used to tell a girl who's 12 and a half. So
I understand, but that's not a Raya.
It's a Raya. All right. Go on. And I tell you it's a Raya. It's your opinion. It's my opinion. Why is it a big deal?
Okay. it's all good. Fine. Batisa chesed lefanov, and she found favor in his presence. Vayevahelos tamrukah. He rushed her and gave her as quickly as he could, right, all of those cosmetics, that's minoseha, and all of her portions, lasesla, that he had to give her, as well as 7 girls that were royally to give to every woman from the house of the king. In other words, someone that was there to be able to take care of her at all times. Chazal say that she had one for every day of the week, and she acted differently on Shabbos than she would. She still didn't want to say what her religion was. She never told Achashverosh until Kasher Avadati Avadati, and therefore it was easy when she had one Nara for every single day, the way she acted on Shabbos, the one that was with her on Shabbos thought that that's what she did the rest of the week. And he changed her, he made her different, as well as her girls, as one of the best out of everyone there, knowing that this is the girl that's going to be chosen. Esther told no one, her people nor her birthplace. Mordechai told her that she should not tell. Now, people must have known that there was a connection between Esther and Mordechai, because there are situations later on where Mordechai is close to her, and I would guess at some point somebody said where they had gotten her from, or there must have been written down somewhere where they got her from. However,
couldn't it just been? I mean, we know that Mordechai was still high up in Achashverosh's court, so therefore,
she had a connection to him through that, right?
100%. By the way, I know this girl.
That's definitely possible. There's no question about that whatsoever. But not only that,
throughout the whole place.
Yeah, 100%. There's no question about that. But not only that, Mordechai Tziva Lesher looks like it is so interesting that Mordechai told her not to do so. He didn't know what was going on here. But he knew that something strange was going to happen if Esther was going to be chosen, right? Something strange is happening over here if this is going to be. Maybe there was a Nevuah involved. We are dealing with a Navi and a Navi over here. So it's possible that he knew something that was not there. Maybe he realized that the second base of Mikdash was going to be built soon. It would be amazing if you have a queen, somebody inside there who's a full from Jew, especially someone who's right around the Gadol Ador the entire time. But either way, people didn't think anything of it, because it could be that Mordechai had taken in somebody who was an orphan. Maybe she was Jewish, maybe she wasn't, but had taken in somebody to be able to help. Maybe there were other people that Mordechai took in that he was helping. From the Gemara, it seems that he was a teacher of children. It could be that he was a teacher not only of boys, but of girls as well, and that would have been somebody that he had brought up. So it's doesn't show anybody that she was necessarily Jewish. Every day, Mordechai made it his business to go somewhere near that courtyard of where the women were, to know how Esther was doing, right, and what was going on with her. Obviously, there was going to be issues with her being taken. He wanted to make sure. There's an amazing trup over here. Do you have the trup on this?
Yeah.
So if you see it, it goes through. Where do you have it? Just right there. Ubagia, right. It's pazer, tor, nara, right? So nara is kadmaviazla. Right, that it goes in, that each Nara went in, says the Gra, that they were running inside to be able to go through Lavol Melech Achashverosh, to go to the king Achashverosh, Miketz HaYosla Kedos HaNashim, after she got that law of the queen, of the woman, Shnei Masar Chodesh, for 12 months, Kim Yoli Mei Mnukayan. That's how long it took for their cosmetics and everything to go through. She Chodesh Meshem Amor, they spent 6 months. 6 months in myrrh oil, 6 months using perfumes and other different things, right? And each one knowing that they were going to, so they would run as soon as they got the chance. Only when they got this, that's when the girl would go to the king. Not before. Whatever they would say, they would bring to her from the Beis Hanashim to the Beis Melech. But Erviba, in the evening, that girl would go. In the morning, she would be returned to Sheni El Yad Shashkaz, Sris Melech, and he would be put to Shashkaz, the Sris of the king, Shomar Pilagshin. He would be in charge of the concubines. We don't know much about Shashkaz. This is the only time that he appears. Lo Sabo Odol Amalekim, Chavetz Ba Melamini Kravashain. She would never go to the king again unless he called her out by name, meaning these girls were no longer brought in front of the king unless he specifically asked for them to come. Now we have an interesting one. The trup in this one says the Gra, Uvahagia, Torester, Basavichayel, Dod Mordechai. It's a munach, 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 munach. As if she's trying to, this is the poser of this one. Yeah. The next one is munach, munach. She waited and waited and waited until finally she had to go, right? That Esther, the daughter of Avichayel, the uncle of Mordechai, Shalakach lo labas, who had taken her as a daughter, Lavo al Melech, to come to the king. Lo big shadavar. She didn't ask for a single thing. Yomar Hegai, Sris HaMelech Shomer HaNashim. Only what Hegai, the Sris of the king, said for her to get. Bati Esther knows his chem be'enei koroel. And Esther found favor in the eyes of everyone who saw her, so she was pleasing to everybody. Somebody that everybody found to be somebody who is meritorious. They wanted her. They wanted her to be chosen. Esther was brought to the king, or taken to the king Achashverosh, to his kingdom, to his palace, in the 10th month, which is the month of Teves, in the 7th year of his kingdom. So we're already 4 years away from Vashti. 4 years away from when Vashti was. It's very difficult to be able to say that Daryavish II was the child of Esther. If Daryavish II was the child, Achashverosh is only king for 14 years. Right? If she was taken in the 7th, let's say she became pregnant right then. That means that he would only be 7 when he became king. I'm not saying that it hasn't happened in the history of mankind, but it's very difficult. There is a Tosus in Shabbos in Daf Mem that seems to say that Esther's son was Daryavish II. It's just hard. He would have been 7 at the time, 9 years old when he gave Nehemiah the rights to go back and to give him all the riches to go through there. Not saying it's impossible. It's just very difficult to say. It's more likely that he was Vashti's kid or one of the concubines' kids instead of something else. But regardless, he was taken in Teves. Says the Gemara, specifically in Teves, the coldest of months, so that the bodies would be warmed up together. It would be even easier for Achashverosh. I guess in the summer it was a little bit more difficult. The Gemara says that from this we see some of the tzniyas of Achashverosh, that he would only be together with the woman at night, but never in the morning, never during the day itself. He loved Esther from all the other women, from all the other vesulos, right? All the other women that were there. According to the measures that we mentioned before, right, this is because all the others were besulos, but she found favor more than all the besulos, even though she wasn't. The crown was put on her head, and she became queen tachas vashi. The Gemara says the reason why she was different from everybody else is because ayelas hashachar, they call Esther. This is brought down in the Gemara as well, that she was under the ayelas hashachar, and that's in Tehillim Chaf Beis, that she's the ayelas hashachar, so to speak. And ayela is a type of animal that has a very, very tight womb. And the tight womb is there, it makes it seem like she's a basula, even though she's actually not. And that would be a reference to more Esther as well, that even though she wasn't a Basula, nonetheless, she was like an Ayala in that way as well. Okay, Vayasam Elch Mishta Gadolachol Sorav. And here, we get into the whole thing. What's with this feast? That the obvious answer is, he just got married. This is the wedding feast for all of his Sarvav out of his Mishta Esther. He called it the Feast of Esther. But then it says, Va'anachal Medinos Asa, he made a tax holiday from all the kingdoms, Vayitein Masas Kiyat HaMelech, and he gave gifts as befitting a king. Where did that come from? So the Gemara says that the reason why it happened is because he went to Mordechai, who apparently was an advisor, although not the chief advisor at the time, and said, Esther won't tell me where she's from. Esther won't tell me what's going on with her. How do I get her to say? So he said, well, if you get her jealous, right? Trying to get the king to be away from Esther and instead going to somebody else. If you get her jealous, maybe then she'll give in more to you. So he made a huge feast, took the taxes off, did everything. So this wasn't the wedding feast, according to that Gemara. This was another feast that he made, right, in order to make sure to try to get them to admit what ended up happening. And he brought in the Basulas a second time. And that's what Mordechai was doing, sitting by the gate of the king. Mordechai gave that advice to do it again, so that you can again make Esther jealous. But none of the girls were as good in Achashverosh's eyes as Esther. And Esther might get a small lot of tov esamo. Nonetheless, Esther did not tell over her birthplace nor her people. Kashativala Mordechai, like Mordechai had told her, Vesmaimer Mordechai Esther Osa. Whatever Mordechai said, Esther did. Kashaizabam Nito, while she was still together with him, while she was under his care completely. Absolutely unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I really do want to find some type of a parish that says why they didn't figure out that Mordechai was so close. I gave you the answer before. I wish there was something that was better that would explain why people didn't figure out the connection or know that she had grown up by Mordechai or anything like that. Yeah, she might have been really tenu and they didn't know that she was there the whole time. It could be that people didn't realize there was such a connection. It just seems to me that people would have found, if the king really wanted to find out, how could they not have found out?
Someone had to go to Mordechai's house to take her.
Yeah, so maybe they forgot about that because it was a year earlier, because they spent a year in the Shemin Amor and whatever it is.
Because that's where we're going to go willingly.
He's an officer, so he brought her himself.
Why would Mordechai bring her?
Mordechai.
No, Mordechai didn't take her. No. She was Batilokach. She was taken.
By officer, so with Mordechai.
Not Mordechai. No, Mordechai wouldn't have done this on purpose. I don't know. I would you? You take your... Your daughter. First of all, there's a whole shiloh whether or not. There's a shiloh whether or not this is mutter. There's shiloh if it's mutter. The only reason why we mutter is because of karka olam, right? That's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says. We have it elsewhere as well, right? There's a whole shiloh this is mutter. Why isn't it the kasha that they ask right in the Gemara? Why didn't she kill herself? Right, especially if she's a wife. But why didn't she kill herself rather than be together with a non-Jew? Even if it's not a rias directly, a bizrayu the rias, it certainly is. Why wouldn't that have been done? And they say karka olam is different by a woman than it is by a man, which is a strange answer, but nonetheless it's there. By a woman, you should know, by a queen, there's always a deal of ones. It's always considered an ones when it's together with a king, even if she's willing. By a king, it always has the status of a rape. It's never considered willingly.
By non-Jews.
By any king. By any king, it's considered an ones, not. Yeah, it's a famous thing that they say by Bathsheba as well. When David was together with Bathsheba, it was considered an ones. Even if she was willingly together with David, she was still mutter to her husband.
If she would have said no, he might have.
Because he can't say no. Because a king, you can't say no to a king. Always.
So fine. So
yeah.
It's puzzling as to why Ahasuerus didn't. Why. How Esther could have refused him asking, where are you from, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, given the fact that she had to fast 3 days just to ask him to go to a party.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but that was later, so it could be that time changed. You know, like in the first year, Achashverosh is still whatever. 2 years later, that ended up happening in the 12th year, so that would have been 5 years later. 5 years later, Achashverosh was no longer in the same good graces of Achashverosh as she was 5 years earlier. That I can answer.
Still, but if we're talking about not being able to refuse the king.
I hear what you're saying. How can you refuse the king?
He miraculously didn't ask her where she was from?
She said, I'm an orphan. I don't know. No, she said, my parents are dead. I don't know. That she could have said. I understand that. I completely understand.
What do you mean?
Said,
who raised you?
And there was an orphanage in Shushan. And
exactly. I'm okay with that. And again, we said
sure
Mordechai taught kids. I'm okay with Mordechai being this person who was in charge of kids.
I'm sure there were a bunch of orphan Jews.
Yeah, for sure, because of the Beis HaMikdash, right? Although this would have been 70 years later. By this time, they would have been all been old.
It seemed like things were going
pretty well for the Jews. The Jews were intermarrying by this time, so I don't know. That I hear what you're saying, though. All right, we say Pasuk Chav Aleph is finished the second paragraph. By Yomi Mahim, in those days, Mordechai Yosef Bishar HaMelech, he was sitting by the gate of the king. Kotzav Big Son Vestar Shnei Sarusi HaMelech Meshomri Asaf. These two officers of the king, the people who were guarding his apartment, they got angry. They wanted to put their hand upon the king Achashverosh. According to the Gemara, they were angry because Achashverosh was spending so much time with Esther. He was spending time at night bothering them, asking them to get this and get that and whatever it was, and it made their jobs living Gehenim, so that they couldn't stop doing this and that and the other, and it was very, very difficult for them. I guess at times it was a very, very easy job, but either way, they considered it whatever it was, and they wanted to stop. So Vayiva Dahad Dover LeMordechai. Mordechai found out about it. Vayagid LeEsther HaMalka, and he told it over to Esther the queen. Vatomer Esther LeMelech B'Shem Mordechai, and Esther said it to the king in the name of Mordechai. According to the Gemara, Mordechai understood the language they were speaking. They were speaking in Turkish, I believe. Tursi. Yeah, Tarshish is what it was. Is that a language or a place? I thought it was Tursi. Maybe, or whatever it is. But Tarshish was, they were speaking some language. Mordecai understood it, told it over to Esther,
why
right?
Why would that throw red flags with Ahasuerus?
The what?
I mean, if Mordecai was known to be a counselor of the king already, why wouldn't Mordecai go directly to Ahasuerus and tell him? Why would he tell the queen to tell... But why would Mordecai be close to the queen? Why wouldn't actually be like, well, why...
Easier access. I hear what you're saying.
He's
enough, easier
so
access.
You can get to the queen.
Yeah,
get to
I think
Mike
that's
Pence,
it. Maybe he tried. Maybe he tried. Maybe he tried to get to the king, but he couldn't get in. You know what I'm saying? It says, Vayibunkash Hadavar, they checked it, Vayimatze, and it was found. They checked the drink at night, and they found poison in it. Vayikalushneim al eitz, they hung both of them on a tree, Vayikasu b'sefer divrei yom lifnei amelech, and it was written in the sefer divrei yom in front of the king, and that divrei yom, obviously, dun dun dun, we're going to see that later on, that comes into play within the plot of what happens over here. But that's the idea of what happened over here. This is interesting. What it says, the two were sentenced by impalement. It says here that they were hung.
Like Vlad and Impaler.
It says sharp. Yeah, that's what it says. It says sharp stakes were driven into the ground, and the two were placed on them standing up so that the stakes pierced their bowels. Like after they were impaled, they were both hung in a single gallows for all the populace to see. That's interesting. Bigthan and Seresh was a friend of Haman, and this is when Haman got very upset at Mordecai, according to this. This is very interesting over here. Either way, regardless, we all know the famous things that the scribe at the time was Haman's son. What's his name?
Pachegan.
No, Pachegan Aksav.
Yeah, scribe.
That was his name?
Pachegan.
I thought it was just the name of what they called it, the Ksav. That was his name.
Oh,
I thought it was...
I thought that was his... I read it as being his name.
I remember it something... I remember the name... I forgot what it was.
25.
There's a name. What?
There's a note there.
Nah, that's just to tell you where it's from. Either way, regardless, that guy wrote it in, but he didn't want to say that Mordecai actually saved the king. So what he did was he wrote, Big Son, O Seresh. As if it was a suffix. They didn't know which one tried to actually kill the king, and that they killed both of them. So it would look bad on Mordecai, that Mordecai wasn't even sure, and they killed him misuffic. So in the end, we all know what happened, because later on we'll see it's Big Sonna Vaseresh, that the Aleph and Vav ended up being part of Big Son and Seresh. I guess the letters, right, and the thing, the ink moved over a little bit, so it didn't look like Big Son O Seresh anymore, it looked like Big Sonna Vaseresh. That's the names that they were described later on. You know what? They probably didn't.
I mean, it was written in Persian.
Yeah, so probably not. Yeah, in Persian. Whatever the Persian version would have been, right, regarding all this. Persian version. All right, we're up to Perek Gimel, guys. That's what happened over here. This comes in toward the very end. We're now going to meet Haman. We'll see that next time.